You're listening to the Cultural Curriculum Chat, the podcast that specializes in multicultural education and classroom strategies. I'm your host, Jebba Edmonds. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Jebba Edmonds, and welcome to the Cultural Curriculum Chat. I'm so happy that you're here with us today. We are going to focus on words and phrases to use and avoid in DE&I communication. Before we begin, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. One of my favorite quotes that I want to share with you is by Joy Meads from the American Theater Communications Group. And she says, and I quote, "We are not doomed to act on our unconscious biases, but we can't overcome them unless we know what they look like and where they live." Last week's episode, we talked about key vocabulary terms in DE&I. In one of those terms, we touched on unconscious biases. And so when we are thinking of these common phrases that are not good to share anymore, a lot of that stems from these stereotypes and attitudes of our unconscious biases of the adults that were in our lives and how it shaped our expressions of people. And not knowing the underlying effects of these phrases that are very common in our vernacular, but it also hinges upon the underlying nuances that really harm different cultural groups in our society. I found a really great common DE&I language reference guide that I will have in the description below so you can look at the multitude of harmful phrases that have been touched on, and also they have given you great strategies of how to turn these phrases and reword them so that they are not inflicting more harm towards others. So I'm going to share a couple of these harmful phrases and what particular marginalized group it affects the most. And then I'm going to give you examples on how to rephrase it in a way that it is not causing harm. So for example, a harmful phrase that you might have heard about geared negatively towards Asian Americans is gung-ho. And instead of saying that phrase, we need to reframe it and change it into being, "I am so enthusiastic about something," or "I'm so excited about something." Another harmful phrase that you might have heard or have used as well is the phrase "long time no see," also very harmful towards the Asian community. And so you can change that phrase into, "I haven't seen you in a long time," or "it's been a while." These are some phrases that you should use instead. A couple of phrases that impact negatively people in the Black community is the phrase "calling a spade," very harmful verbiage. And you want to change that phrase to "telling it like it is." That's a very good reframed phrase that you can use moving forward. Another one that a lot of people still use without even knowing the intention is "mumbo jumbo." That is also negatively impacting people in the Black community. To rephrase that, you want to say, "I couldn't understand them," or "they must have been mumbling something." A couple phrases that touch on negatively to the Indigenous people in our society is "low man on the totem pole." Very harmful phrase. You want to change that to "the lowest ranking person in the workforce," or "a person with the least positional power." I hear quite a bit. Also negative is the phrase of "circle the wagons." You want to change that to "protecting ourselves." And another one phrase that you hear quite a bit in the LGBTQIA+ community that has negative connotation is "that's so gay." To rephrase would be, "oh, that's so silly," or "that's bizarre." Another phrase that has been harmful to people with disabilities, turning a blind eye or turning a deaf ear to something. You can change those two negative connotations to, oh, that's willfully ignorant, or I'm deliberately ignoring you, or it was deliberately ignored to me. That is a phrase that you should use instead. We are going to be in situations where these phrases, and there's a lot more in this reference guide, that have been so automatic in our slang and vernacular that some of us feel that the connotations don't carry as much weight. But if you are a person in these identities and cultural groups, it does still carry weight. It still has that, you know, nails on the chalkboard feel when you hear these phrases. And when people don't call out those phrases to check and correct that phrase and educate others of what, we can't say that phrase anymore. Or, you know, I heard something on Jebba's podcast that these are some phrases that we should turn it into a better connotation by using these new phrases to get our point across still, but with a more positive connotation to what we mean. There's tons more in this reference guide that are even more hurtful and harmful that I just don't feel comfortable sharing. I just wanted to give you a touch of some phrases just to get your mind into that space of, wow, this is pretty common. And I found myself saying these phrases too. But now that I know the negative connotations behind them, I know I can do better. So if you say these phrases, we are all human, but we all need to understand when that does happen, that we need to have that growth mindset of, I will do better and I will hold myself accountable. I really want you to practice this by thinking about when you are in the moment and you do say something, then I want you to say to, oh, I am so sorry. I meant to say something else. Or I'm so sorry. I really stepped in it this time. I will do the work and do better. Last week's key vocabulary exercise, we worked on a journal prompt, and I'm going to have us do that again with ourselves today for a new journal prompts. So if you do have your journals with you and your favorite pen, I'm going to have you think about a harmful phrase or hurtful saying, and I want you to write that hurtful phrase at the top. I gave you some examples in this episode, but if you just kind of think back and reflect of some things that you have said without the intention of harming a particular group, but you still said it anyway, think about the context clues of what that could be pointed towards of a particular group. So when you think of that harmful phrase, you write it down in your journal, and I want you to kind of think of that phrase in if it was said out loud. And I want you to write down these three prompts for me. So the first prompt I want you to write down is, how do you think they feel about this phrase? And they, meaning that cultural group that it's geared towards, how do you think they might have felt with this phrase? How do you think that person's reaction might have been, if there was a reaction? The next prompt I want you to write down, and I want you to answer authentically, where do you think that idea or phrase came from? And lastly, how do these mentalities create barriers for change? When we're thinking about the phrases and the origins of where you think it might have come from, or why this phrase is hurtful and harmful towards particular groups of people, how are these mentalities still creating barriers for change? How are we not doing the work in trying to understand the negative connotation and knowing the vast vocabulary that we have in the English language? Why are we still using these hurtful phrases as a default setting in our subconscious when we do have more words in our vocabulary to get the same point across? So I want you to take some time this week and answer fully and honestly about that hurtful phrase that you wrote in your journal. And I want you to think about, how does it make that person feel if you've said it out loud to them? And where do you think that phrase came from? And what are those barriers that are still in place affecting us from doing the positive work that we need to do? Having said that, I love self-reflection. It's a huge tool in that I've worked with over 60 organizations and counting in doing these self-reflective practices of looking at harmful phrases, harmful idioms, and trying to unpack it all to see what are the origins of that and what happens when I have a colleague of mine saying this out loud to the group of us in the workplace. And what are the tools that I need to disrupt and dispel those same patterns that we need to unlearn and then relearn new ones? I have created a wonderful resource for you all to check out and enroll today. Think about this as a launching point of creating your own diverse and inclusive culture. And I can't wait to help you and your organization succeed. Our interactive training will help you identify these biases that you hold dear so that you can mitigate the risks they pose to your organization. We will help you explore how changing your own perspective can change how you think about DE&I. So, how to be a culturally competent leader digital learning course will take you on this 5-part diversity course where you can learn how to recognize, understand, and eliminate the unconscious biases that is hindering your progress for positive change. Enroll in my course today and start creating that inclusive and culturally competent workplace on my website at JebbaEdmonds.com/digital course. Now, before we wrap up, I really want you to take the time to sit with those prompts that I have shown you. And I also want you to, of course, enroll into my course so you get up to date and more vetted materials so you don't feel so overwhelmed. And I also want you to go forth and practice those new rephrases so you can show your friends in our marginalized communities that you do have their back. Thank you all so much, and I can't wait to see you here same time next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Cultural Curriculum Chat with Jebba Edmonds. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We will be here same time, same place next week. Take care. Bye-bye.